All right, well, I am absolutely super, super excited to introduce you to you today, Tim Moon. Now, Tim Moon, for those that don't know, I get asked time and time again, who do I go and talk to? And behind me is Tim. I refer to Tim all the time for advice and so forth. So welcome to the interview style podcast of Fuck Therapy, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. And what an opening. I don't know. Hopefully I meet people's standards of what they think stands behind you. And I mean, you stand on your own 2 feet, mate. So I'm very flattered and, you know, it makes me feel good when I hear you say the lovely words that you do. But much like I hear you talk to people that you've had on the podcast, it all comes down to who's doing the work, you know, and you're absolutely the one who's done all the work. And, you know, much like yourself, I just pointed some things out along the way and then you kind of took it from there. So all credit to you.
Listen, I really appreciate it. So, you know, this interview is going to be really interesting. And Tim and I have had no preparation for this. We've decided that we're just going to wing it.
Zero. Yep.
Zero.
That's it. And we're here in the lovely recording studio.
We are in the recording studio. What do you think of the recording studio?
Amazing, amazing job you've done here. I can see the production value and where the dollars are really going.
So as everyone knows, and you may have heard in other podcast episodes, the recording studio, we've literally got camp beds over the top of us. We're sitting under a scaffold. We've got old building materials. We've got towels hanging up. We've got horse blankets, all to deaden the sound. And this is all to make Rob, the great man, and he's not here to defend himself, so he's going to really be really uncomfortable with this, but happy in the editing. So back to our story. You know, when I came to you originally, you know, I'd gone through a pretty rough trot. From memory, the first time we met, I didn't necessarily leave you with the best impression.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was funny because we caught up and we had a cup of coffee, and I think kind of some of the intention was you were selling to me.
Yep.
Right? And while I could see so many positive characteristics, there was something that just said, you know what, I'm not quite sure about this guy. And I think it's that line between kind of confidence and perceived arrogance, right? Like, you're not, as I've come to learn, an arrogant person, but you're extremely confident, and as you should be, and that's a great characteristic to have. But in some of those early conversations, or that early conversation, I think you weren't necessarily aware of that line. And while you're not arrogant, some of the things I perceived as being a bit arrogant. So I think after that, you came back with the business that you were involved in and said, hey, we're interested in talking to a coach. And, you know, and so I agreed to meet up with yourself and your partners on that one and have a chat. And in the back of my mind, everything sounded good when we were meeting up. But I was like, I just don't know, because, and I think the thing with arrogance is that you can't see things clearly, right? And what's even worse is you think you do.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So you think you see it as it is and everybody else is wrong. And so I had that in the back of my mind. And then what was amazing is that as we were all having this great conversation and I was feeling good about it, but I still had that, I'm not so sure. You made the comment at the very end of that second meeting where you said something along the lines of, one of the things that I'm focusing on and working on is humility.
Yep.
And that was just like, you know, the trumpet going off, going, oh, wow, you know, this guy has awareness, has some self-awareness. And that's exactly the sort of person that I want to spend time with.
Yeah.
And so that started us, I guess, down that journey for that particular business. And I mean, we're both involved in a number of different endeavors and have been through time. So what a great start, actually.
Yeah, it was an awesome start. So before we dig any deeper into our stories, because we've got so many, let everyone know a little bit about you. Tell us about you.
Oh, boy. If we want to bore them to death. You can probably tell from my accent, I am from the States. So I'm from Minnesota. I learned to love to travel in my early 20s when I went to South America. And while I was down there, I picked up a little bit of Spanish and furthered that travel bug, which then had me go off to Europe And as I was backpacking through Europe, I met this beautiful Aussie woman, which is how I ended up in Australia. So many years, 5 years of living in Minnesota and two sons under each arm, we came over to Australia and kind of with the old classic story of not having anything, moved in with my in-laws, her parents, which was great. And I don't know that many people say that, but it was great for us as it was an opportunity for me to get to know them more. And we have one of those stories where if someone had, one of my mates had come to me and said, hey, I met this woman backpacking and we're getting married kind of 10 months after we met. So we met in Turkey, 10 months later, we're getting married in Minnesota. I would have gone to one of my other mates. I give it 2 years tops. You know? and yet here we are now 21 years later. So three sons later and many good stories later and loving it here in Australia. And so that's kind of what got me to this point. I mean, I started businesses, sold businesses, got involved in a variety of businesses, took time off to really invest in myself. There are two things that I value that I think is important for everyone. Not that everyone values or needs to do this, but education and experience, that's where I put my money. So if there's something new to learn that excites me, then I go and do it. So for me, that was a lot of personal coaching. So things from online Tony Robbins trainings to flying to California and doing intensive one-on-one kind of coaching within a broader group workshop for a number of days, to books and Louise Hay annual summits and investing in self. And I have found it's very true that it comes back to you. That's how my mind has grown. That's how I've learned to deal with all the crap that, we all deal with. We all have issues. So it's just putting in the work. And I think you say it frequently, or at least I hear it, or maybe I pick up on it because that's what I want to hear. It's perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many perspectives out there. Normally when we have an issue, it's because our perspective is narrow. And when we push the boundaries of that and we expand it, it lightens things for us. The heavy burden and the loads that we're carrying can be made a lot lighter when we can start to see broader perspectives. And so that's what kind of all the training and those sorts of things is, to be able to put tools in my tool belt. So when I meet people, because everyone's different, that you have a way to be able to understand them and speak to them and to be able to help them. So, boy, that's, I guess, a bit of my journey. I've gone off the path a little bit, but come back and that's what brought me to this seat today.
Absolutely. So when we go back, to one of our early experiences and times, I had just gone through a bankruptcy.
Yep.
So I had worked my ass off for a lot of years, been successful in my own right, and sort of got to the other side of the financial chasm, if you like, of life, where I was finding comfort. And then I lost it all. And my mindset being the way it is, was I wanted to invest every single dollar that I lost into a life lesson. And I came to you and I said, you know, help me, man.
You did, but you didn't know what you were getting into, I think, when you said that. Let me turn it around a little bit and take a step back, because as I had kind of talked about how we met each other and where we started in this kind of more business coaching with your partners, and then we get to this point where you're like, help me, man. What was it that caused you to kind of say, because that's hard. Most people don't go out there and say, hey, I'd like some assistance or I need coaching and guidance. And by the way, everyone does, right? I do, like I've just articulated. I go to books and other people and learn a lot through that. But every single person can use, even it's just that friend that you can tell your problems to, right? That's coaching, that's support. Yeah. So what caused you to, I guess, engage in that level at that point in time?
Absolutely. Well, I'd looked at all the traumas that I'd suffered through my lives and the journeys that I traveled. And it was very easy to see that there was one common denominator. And that one common denominator was me. So there's a couple of ways to look at that. I can either look at that by saying, poor me. I can look at that by saying, gee, I'm the most unluckiest guy in the world. I can look at that with self-hatred. Mm. And go, listen, I am an absolute cock up at the end of the day, and I deserve all this because I'm shit. And I wasn't prepared to accept any of that. But I was prepared to face all of it. And it was about one of the common denominator, which I found out later through working together, you know, because I came to you with this and we had that open discussion about how I came across and how it sort of took a while for you to uncover the layers, to really discover that I didn't come forward with any vulnerability. I hid my vulnerability, and it was in hiding that vulnerability that I closed off to learning some of the most important lessons life had to offer me. But we had to dig deep into that to explore it. And the reason that I came forward, you know, ultimately to you was the way in which you communicated and the way in which you actually challenged me. But by not telling me I'm wrong, by not telling me I'm stupid, by not being the wise old owl sitting on the other side of the table, but by challenging me through question and bringing me back to a level of self-discovery. And that was so powerful, and it was intriguing, so I needed to dig further.
That's it. And how had you been dealing with that bankruptcy, kind of mentally, internally, up until that point? What was your way of dealing with it? How were you going to get through?
I was literally going to suppress it, let everyone know on the outside world that I was unaffected and that I'm just going to go and whoop this world. Nothing was going to beat me. Internally, I was dying.
Yep. And I think I remember when we caught up and we were in the kind of living room of my house, and I was asking you, what do you really want? Right. Well, we can spend all this time together, and what do you want? And if I recall correctly, peace was one of the key attributes that you were looking for. And understandably, I mean, we all have traumas, and irrespective of how we judge other people's traumas, they affect themselves the way they do. And they're all big for each of us individually. And I think when the tools that we have are, you know, a hammer, then we're going to try to address the problem by beating the crap out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think my observation, and if we reflect back on kind of your life,
yeah,
I mean, one of your tools was just go harder.
Yeah.
Right. If we were going to kind of put a quote there, it's just go harder.
Isn't it funny? I've actually forgotten about that, but that's exactly right.
To the extent, like, if you're going to say, look at a metaphor for your life, you just go harder, even to the extent you break your back.
Yeah.
Like literally broken back, not just kind of the phrase of, you know, yeah. It broke me back, you know, like you broke your back.
Yeah. No, I actually broke my back. I broke my spine. Yep. And that didn't stop me.
It didn't stop you. And yet all these things, like eventually you'd be stopped.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's one of the things that I've learned through this journey and then continuing the journey is resilience, courage, bravery, determination, commitment, strength are brilliant character traits. But without discernment, without wisdom, without humility, without knowledge, without experience, they're unbalanced. You know, life isn't about, like you listen to certain things and going, you know, it's about how hard you hit, but how you get back up and those sorts of things. It's like, yeah, it sounds beautiful and it's great in a Rocky movie.
Yeah.
But the reality is when you don't apply discernment, when you don't apply resilience, when you don't apply wisdom, knowledge, experience from the road and path that you've traveled, well, resilience by itself is a life where you're just going to continually get knocked. That's not the way to move forward. It just sounds cool. It sounds tough. But it's missing the essence. You know, I was the epitome of being able to get knocked down and get back up, but it was not serving me.
So one of the great things about working with you is because you had those characteristics, then it was quite easy to work with you because I could throw things at you and I knew that you would always go 110%. And even if it was this toughest challenge, you were going to go through it. So, so we got to the point after some understanding self and understanding family and people around you and some of your own rules that you work by, like just work harder.
Which
is interesting because you were searching for peace. Isn't it funny where it's kind of the yin yang, it's the opposite. I'm searching for peace, which is understandable because you're constantly just working harder. So you don't ever give it to yourself. You never got it. Right? So it's totally obvious, like when you step back and look at it going, no wonder that's what you're looking for because you're tired. You know, it's exhausting. You're injured. And so the other thing when it comes to our traumas, our issues, our problems is so often we're trying to push them away or run away from them. And I think some of it was like this issue in that particular instance, and it could have been anything, but it was the discussion of the bankruptcy and what that meant to you. And we've talked about as humans, we're meaning-making machines, right? Nothing means anything. Like that event didn't mean anything.
No, it was the story that I attached to it.
And it means exactly whatever you say is what it means.
And to many people that have listened to my TikToks and my YouTubes and my podcasts and my lives, they don't truly understand, you know, that side of me and that I've traveled that road. They often ask, how is it you know what you know? How have you become so what? Blah, blah, blah. And you're going, it's this road that I traveled, you know, because at that time, you know, I was smashed.
And so you're spot on in terms of it's, you have to have experience, right? So as much as I go, like I listen to things and read books and whatever, it's that experience that really teaches. And so when you mention that I ask questions, it's because me telling you, Jamie, this is the way to do this would never have the effect.
No.
Me asking you, how do you want to feel? What direction do you think you could go? How can you find gratitude and greatness in the thing that you think is the worst thing that's ever happened to you? Now, therein lies the challenge. And when you can find that, now the perspectives we talked about open up. And you can start to see things. And so when I chucked that particular challenge at you, it was, I think, 100 Find 100 reasons why you were grateful for or you had good things come out of your bankruptcy, which, again, when we get back to most people are trying to run away from whatever their big issue is. And you have to look at it like that. If you genuinely go through that approach, by the end of that, there's nothing to run away from. Right? Like you've shown the spotlight on this thing that you thought was this huge, scary monster in the dark. But when you turn the lights on, it's actually not that at all. And you're thankful for the elements that it gave you and for where you are at that moment in time and what you've learned. So how was that process?
I've shared this story many times, but it's worth going through it again because at that particular time, and people will probably be surprised to hear these words coming out of my mouth because I would never have said them, but the way in which I was feeling at the time, I had associated success with, you know, a huge part of success and life success based on the money you were able to generate and maintain, right? I was a businessman. I was an entrepreneur. You know, I had businesses, employees, all those sorts of things. And when that went and I had to sell the family home, you know, I felt like a loser. You know, the foundations were eroded. And although I was driving forward to go, okay, I will go get it again, that's how I actually felt. So when I was challenged with facing the bankruptcy and then writing a list of 100 items that was good and that I was grateful for having gone through that experience, you know, I had to go through a few emotions. the first one was, you know, okay, I'm going to come forward in my strength and do what I've always done. You're putting a challenge, you know, in front of my nose. You know, I'll front up to it front and center. Not only will I front up to it, I am going to impress the balls off you. So I went out to write this list and I got to about 30 items, which when you read, it was like the encyclopedia of how fucking great am I, right? And I reread it and started vomiting in my mouth and went, there's not a hope in hell you're going to buy this shit. So I've never been, you know, the smartest tool in the shed. I've always had to work hard for everything that I've got. So second time around, I did the same thing. And funnily enough, came to the same conclusion.
You got a bit further, I think.
I did get a little bit further because that was my resilience, determination, commitment coming out, but without, you know, discernment and wisdom and vulnerability.
And I didn't see any either of those lists yet. So I only learned about that after the fact when I got the ultimate
list. And then I sat down and I'd had a really bad night's sleep. And I wasn't sleeping at that stage very well at all, because every time I went into a subconscious state, my mind went to the gun cabinet, and it was putting a gun in my mouth and those sorts of things. Now, it was in my subconscious. It wasn't in my conscious thought. So I would wake up going, what the hell are you thinking? No, 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 no. Fall back to sleep and the same routine would happen, right? So I was in a really bad way, hadn't slept, got the laptop out, and went right, and I was completely stripped and vulnerable at that point in time. And sometimes life has to take you there, right, to open the real door that you need to walk through. And I was there, and I was actually, you know, fear isn't something that I admit to. It's not something that I typically struggle with. But I was at that point where you're going, you can't even look over that. You can't take another day. You can't take another step without significant negative consequences. So anyway, I got this list and I just poured my heart out. And I really, really opened up with what it was. And it was hard work. You know, the first 10 items, no problem. I could come up with the first 10 items, you know, crack through to the next 20, got to 30, you know, and it was really pulling on my heartstrings, you know, but then I'm doing it in ones. To find 100 things, because my mind hadn't shifted at that point in time. So I'm finding one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And occasionally you would open up a door and you'd see two or three things, you know, but then it would come back to ones. And I remember I got to somewhere around the 76 mark and my perspective had shifted and my mind opened. And I literally started crying and I was writing out this list. Naturally, back then, I was hiding the tears from everyone else. No one else was going to see that shit. I was like, please don't anyone. I'm sort of going like this if anyone comes around the corner, right? And I went from that 76 mark to 111 without even realizing, without stopping, without taking a breath, because my heart had opened. I'd seen and actually found the power in vulnerability. I had opened up to see what perspective really was and the blessing that was in front of me. And as soon as I wrote that list, I can feel the emotion as I'm talking, so it's difficult. As soon as I wrote that list, it made me realize instantly and reaffirmed the blessing that God had given me with my wife. And I then wrote a list to her that turned out to be kind of a poem, kind of a list.
You don't strike me as a real poetry sort of guy.
Listen, I'm not much of a poet, and I'm not saying it necessarily rhymed, but and it wasn't meant to. It was just the way it was coming out, because at that stage, I was completely exposed for the first time in my life. Right. I'd never, ever done anything like that. I'd never opened up like that.
Sure.
And probably not the first time in my life. I think there's a time where we're open, but then traumas happen in your life that close you off.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So I'd reopened that door that I never thought would be open again, tapped into emotions that I never thought I would experience again. And I wrote a poem / letter to Shelley of love, appreciation for her standing by me all these years and everything that we'd gone through and all the things that she had taught me. And that stripped everything back, you know, when I saw the true beauty, you know, of my wife and what she had done and the contribution she had in my life and the significance of her and the power of her, because she's a very humble, shy person, yet she is an absolute beast, you know, the way in which she stood up for me in the past and those sorts of things. And that opened Pandora's box.
And so how did that experience, if any, impact your quest for peace?
Well, the reality is, I mean, it did a couple of things. It gave me peace.
Yeah, I think the fact that you say doors were opened that had been closed, it, you know, oftentimes we got to create space for the things that we need. And in order to do that, we've got to let some of the shit go.
Yeah.
And that can be painful and it can be hard because most of the time it's like that scary monster in the dark. We don't want to turn on the light. We don't want to open the door. We don't want to go in there.
Yeah.
But when we have the courage to do that, not only do we clear the room, we've created space for new things that can come in and fill it that are better.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty good trade-off.
It's a massive trade-off.
Think about anything that you have. If you've got, you know, a shitty little thing over here and then you clean it up and you fill it with beautiful, great things, then life is probably ticked up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So that exercise has now become one of the key pieces in the RISE program.
As well it should. As well it should. It's very powerful.
It is so powerful. Now, I've cut the number from 100 because I think 100's a lot for most people to grapple with.
Sure.
But I did do some research on it and run it through and went foremost. The breakthrough is somewhere around 60, 65 is where most people get their breakthrough. So effectively what I do is I split that list into two. So I run a list of 75 things are good and grateful for the traumas that they've suffered in their past. But you have to educate them on perspective in order for them to do it.
Absolutely.
And then in addition to that, we then do a list of 25 things that make you fucking awesome. Right.
That's
so
fantastic.
We do get
Love
to
it.
The 100.
Yeah.
And the 25 list is usually very difficult for people that are struggling with self-worth. Right, to write that list. But once you've opened those doors, once you've, you know, educated them on perspective, once they've seen it and then experienced it, then doing that list becomes a lot less confronting for them.
Sure.
So that is actually a fundamental component within the RISE program. So I'm so blessed in so many fronts to have gone through that exercise. So grateful for it. It's huge.
So if we were to have someone who follows you on TikTok or one of the listeners, what's the most common kind of question or issue or challenge that you find people are coming to you with?
Self-worth.
Yep.
It does not matter. All roads lead to self-worth.
Yep.
So if someone has been sexually assaulted, sexually abused, as a consequence of what they've gone through and the way in which they've dealt with it, they end up with a lack in self-worth, self-belief, self-trust. They go through a period where they blame themselves, those sorts of things, and the self-worth just breaks down. When you've come from childhood abuse, whether it's abandonment, whether they've been, you know, parents have cheated, whether they've been abused, sexually abused, physically abused, all those sorts of things, mentally abused, had narcissistic parents, it comes back to self-worth. Whether you've been in relationships, narcissistic relationships, gaslighting, sociopath, psychopath type behaviors, it leads to lack of self-worth. Whether it's through a career where you've been bullied and harassed, school where you've been bullied and harassed, it's all self-worth. Whether it's just a normal set of situations, it comes back to a lack of self-worth. And funnily enough, even when it comes to relationships, managing relationships, because if you can't be in a relationship with yourself, you know, it extends, right, which is self-worth. So it comes to grief, managing grief, dealing with grief. Now, that comes down to a level of understanding of self-worth and those sorts of things, you know, relationship breakdowns, or even aspirations to drive forward in life, living under glass ceilings, living under the limits that society puts on us.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I look at it and go, all roads lead to self-worth.
And what a great gift to... I suppose I was going to say give to people, but the people need to kind of give it to themselves,
they
really
do.
Ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things, if you think you're going to come in and sit in a comfortable chair, lay back and have stories told to you and I'll sing you kumbaya, you know, that's not your path back to self-worth. That's not your path to overcoming significant traumas. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're looking at people that have been through the most heinous things, you know, that process, you know, isn't going to work for them, in my opinion, and they need to do a lot of soul searching. You know, and people say, can you help everyone? You know, is there anyone you can't help? And it's like, yeah, those that don't want help.
Yeah.
Those that aren't prepared to put in the work. Those that don't want this more than anything they've ever desired in their entire life, because that's what it takes.
Agreed.
So tell us more about some of the stuff you're doing. So I know you've done a lot of stuff on parenting coaching.
Yeah, I mean, we started something as you do when you dabble in a number of different kind of entrepreneurial activities. So we started Dad Coach a few years ago, and that really was kind of short vignettes, as my partner on that one would like to say, small videos, and still have a Facebook page floating around out there. And that was really just trying to give some guidance to parents where it's tough. You've got kids, there is no manual. We all have the same experiences and we all have the same challenges. They may be in varying degree and magnitude and at different times and things like that. But ultimately, we all have to go through the same sorts of things. So the purpose of that was just providing little quick, easy, edible things to kind of go, oh, I hadn't thought about my kid, my relationship, how I'm handling these things. So yeah, Dad Coach was definitely one. Now there's a company that I'm working with where we've created the Happier Humans program. And so kind of open it up to the company, very short, sharp. Everyone gets on Teams and we talk about some concept that can impact everybody's happiness. Yeah. So, and that's challenging when you don't, that one, it's harder to know kind of where people are at because it's more of a corporate.
Yep.
And people don't really share and talk about that. We get people showing up. We get people saying, thank you very much. That was so important by the end of it. But really, I've just built a program and I'm sure it sounds like Rise has all the elements. So there's many, we're talking about many of the same sorts of things. But for me, my purpose is to help people discover ease and happiness in their lives now. And, you know, I like to think, feel, as we talk about this, kind of some of that purpose was a seed planted in you because you're effectively doing the same thing,
yeah.
Right? You're getting out and working with people. And it's not that people have to wait a long time or it takes a lot. And that's why I have the now at the very end of it. Yeah. It's like, you know, you can start to feel better now.
Yeah.
Right. And it takes just one maybe little shift of perspective, just a one degree. Right. Often we think it's these huge, massive things that have to occur. And those things can and do come. But we can also just have these little small shifts that make the afternoon better.
Yeah.
Or waking up tomorrow better. And then, you know, when we shift things 1%, we do that 1% every week, by the end of a year, you know, we've changed 50%+ in our perspective and how we deal with things and how we deal with people. And there's your significant change.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So I think it's, you know, that balance of, it's not necessarily some big boom. It can be. And certainly some of the exercises in your program can have a breakthrough moment for people. And at the same time, subtle little shifts, picking up little things along the way, and then choosing to apply them to your life. I mean, I'm a big
powerful part.
Life experimenter. So I'd read things and listen and I go, I'm going to try that. And then I try it for 30 days. And that's where a bit of discipline comes in because for me, because I have quite a bit of self-worth, if I say I'm going to do something, then I do it. So I'll do it for 30 days. And if I feel the net effect on my life wasn't a positive uptick, I go, that's interesting. You know, that's the thing that person said, and maybe that works for them, but it really didn't do anything for my life. And I don't like waking up even earlier for it or whatever. And then I go, I'll put that aside for now. So yeah. I think if people learn to do these mini kind of life experiments on these one percenters with themselves and not take what other people say, don't take what I say or you say as
correct.
This is what you do, try it and then see whether it works for you now. Because another thing I know in my own life, there are things that I've heard and could have done at a phase in my life that wouldn't have had an impact on me, where my mind was, where my maturity was, where my experiences were at that time, that in another point in time would have every impact on me, you know, the largest impact on me. So yeah. I think that's another reason why it's so important. You know, sometimes I feel like it's a broken record and it's like, I'm only saying things that all these other great, amazing people have said,
yeah.
You know, and you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We may package them up a different way and we're trying to continue to improve the effectiveness and the impact that they have, but all the things have been said. And have been done before.
Yeah.
And they need to continue to be said.
Correct.
And to be done.
Correct.
So that they get through to people, because we got new people kind of being born and being broken. Unfortunately, they think they're broken. They're not. And they need to hear this sort of stuff. So I think the work that you're doing is phenomenal. And definitely necessary.
No, I appreciate it. Now, I know we could talk forever, but I think for this episode, that is absolutely awesome. So thank you so much for your time. There's a few things that I tell people every episode, and that is that tomorrow is the first day of the rest of their life. You know, take one step at a time. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles started with the first step. Take that first step, and then take the next step, and then take the next step. And life is not lineal. Life is not lineal, and therefore, you know, we're going to have setbacks. But that doesn't mean we start again. It just means it's part of the journey, and to keep optimistic and to keep moving forward. I always say, you know, whether you believe you can or you can't, you are always right. And that's one of those sayings that they go, oh, Henry Ford said that. And I'm like, here's some news for you. It's not where I heard it.
Yeah. Well, it is where I heard it. So that's where I passed it on.
And then I finish the podcast every single time.
Say it?
You absolutely do.
It's my turn.
This is your turn.
Over to me. All right, people. Stay strong.
I love it. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Jamie.